Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, teach your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews, teach them to sing of the goodness of God. The sooner they learn that, the better. Love worship. All right. Last Saturday, at the men's breakfast, Scott shared a really good devotion about the treasures that we have in Christ. He read some scriptures out of Colossians chapter 2, how God not only blesses us and gives us good gifts, you know, James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, but God also blesses us with treasures. So we're going to talk about treasures on this cold morning. Having heat is a real treasure this morning, right? So the title is Hidden Treasures, and we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. So Lord, open up your word to us. We may have read this before, we may think we know, but there's a lot in this. We want to look into it. We want you to reveal things to us. We want you to teach us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher, so come and teach us, I pray, this morning. In Jesus' name, give us something beneficial, something useful. So when we leave here and we go out there and we encounter people, whether it's today or tomorrow, this week or whenever, that we'll be well informed, that we know what truly is treasure and what is not, what's fool's gold. So teach us, we pray this morning. Amen. All right, hidden treasures. Now, when you hear the word treasures, What comes to mind? What would you hope to find in a treasure chest, right? A big pile of silver and gold coins, maybe a bunch of expensive jewelry and gemstones and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and maybe some priceless antiques or ancient artifacts, right? Would you consider all of that treasures? Well, let me show you one of my treasures. The old aluminum lunch pail, all right? Now, if I put this out in a yard sale or a flea market somewhere, I might get a couple bucks for it. It's a cheap lunch pail. But to me, this lunch pail is priceless. It's a treasure to me because of what it represents. It's got a little plastic label, you know, those little guns that you can turn the dial for the letters of the alphabet and print out name labels. It's got a little red label on each end of it with the initials NTZ, which stands for Nicholas Thomas Schwartz. It's my dad. This was his lunch pail for years. As long as I can remember, I don't ever remember him having a different lunch pail than this one. You know, he carried it for years, all the years he worked. He didn't need to replace it with a newer, better lunch pail every couple years. Yeti coolers and cups hadn't been invented yet. But this lunch pail served a purpose for him for years. And what makes it a treasure to me isn't what it's made from. It's cheap aluminum, plastic handle, but what it represents. Because it represents dedication. It represents faithfulness. To me, it represents responsibility and dependability. It represents commitment, dedication, faithfulness, responsibility, dependability, and commitment. Those are words we don't hear a lot about these days, especially that word commitment. Seems a lot of people, even in the church, people claiming to be God's children, a lot of people don't want to make commitments to much these days unless somehow it's going to benefit them. It's the old what's in it for me thing, right? How can this benefit me if I make a commitment to this? A lot of people aren't committed to being responsible for their own actions. They want to blame stuff on everyone else. Their upbringing, their potty training, you know, name it, whatever it is. They want to blame it on somebody else. They aren't committed to their jobs. A lot of them aren't committed to their schoolwork. A lot of them aren't committed to their marriages. They're not committed to the responsibilities they have to their families. Not committed to church. They're not really committed to God. Because if they were really committed to God, they'd be committed to all these other things too. The list goes on and on and on. But we like to keep our options open in case something better comes along. We don't like to be nailed down. We don't like to put our name on something. Once we put our name on, oh man, like when we have these sign-up lists, oh, my name's on there for 4 o'clock. I better be there at 4 o'clock. Right? We like our options. We don't want to commit to a whole lot. And I thought, you know, options are great and all. They're great when you're deciding on the flavor of ice cream you want to get or what to eat for supper. You know, growing up in a small community in New Jersey of Polish and Ukrainian immigrants, my mother always gave me 2 options at mealtime. It was take it or leave it. That was the options I had. All right, where was I? Treasures. Oh, yeah, my dad's lunch pail. This cheap lunch pail is always going to be a symbol of commitment to me. It sits on top of our hutch, you know, and I don't look at it every day, but I'll see it, and it just clicks, you know. It belonged to a hardworking man that I didn't always get along with. It belonged to a man that I didn't get to spend a lot of one-on-one time with. And I could probably count those times on one hand, and I regret it. So when I hear stories of, like, Lewis and Tyson spending time together, Mike Gann and his son Josh and others talk about time spent with their children, it makes me wish I had made the effort. So dads, these kids are going to grow up quick. Dads and moms, take the opportunities to spend that time with them. I could have learned a lot from my dad about life, about priorities, about commitment. I don't remember ever seeing my dad read the Bible, but he lived by a lot of biblical principles, more so than a lot of people who do read the Bible, and I don't see them living by biblical principles. I knew my dad was committed to being a good provider for his family. He knew that was his responsibility, and he didn't try to run away from it. He didn't expect someone else to do it for him. He took that responsibility seriously. And we, men and women, we need to take our responsibility serious, too. And I knew my dad loved us, even though he had a hard time expressing it. Ukrainian men weren't really known for being in touch with their feelings, right? But he faithfully got up every morning early, went to work, and he never complained about it. Never remember him complaining about, like, oh, man, it's so hot out there. Oh, man, it's raining. It's freezing out there. Never. It just got his lunch pail and hopped in a car and went to work. Went to work to provide for his family, right? His work ethic was ingrained in him at an early age. Growing up on a dairy farm, they went out into the barn and milked the cows early first. Then you went back in the house and had breakfast. And then you went to school. That's how he grew up. So he was responsible at a young age. He was dependable. He was committed. So this lunch pail is always going to be a treasure to me just for what it symbolizes, things that are in short supply these days. Like I said, it may only be worth a couple bucks to someone else, but it's one of my treasures. So what do you consider to be real treasures in your life? Obviously, our loved ones are priceless treasures, even if they drive us crazy sometimes. God's word's a priceless treasure, isn't it? I mean, it depends on who you ask, right? Some people completely ignore it. Some people don't believe it. Some people don't put any value on it because they don't understand the true value of it yet. Not yet. And I say not yet because I want to be hopeful. I want to believe that they will get it. That they will believe it, that they will understand the priceless treasure that God's word is and that it will transform their lives. It took me 33 years to learn that God's word is a priceless treasure. And you know what's exciting to me? that this church, this tribe of joy, they collected $500 during our Advent conspiracy in December. And we're going to be able to buy 100 Bibles with that money, and we're sending 50 Bibles to the persecuted believers in Pakistan, printed in their language. And then we're going to send another 50 Bibles to our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ living in Iran, printed in their language. It's two nations that were on that top 10 list we prayed for way back in November. And now we're sending them this treasure of God's Word. Isn't it amazing that this priceless treasure, this life-changing Word of God, is going to 50 households, 50 families in Pakistan, and 50 families in Iran? I mean, glory to God for that. Build your kingdom in Pakistan, Lord. Build your kingdom in Iran, Lord. You know what's even more exciting? You're going to love this. Someone called me this week and asked me if I already mailed a check for $500 to pay for those Bibles. And I said, not yet. I had the coins. I had to take, cash them in, deposit the money, write the check. I said, no, I haven't done it yet. Why? And they felt that the Lord was wanting them to give more, to buy more Bibles. And he said, we want to match that $500 with another $500. That's $1,000. $1,000. We can buy 200 Bibles now. So now we're going to send 100 Bibles to Pakistan and 100 Bibles to Iran. And I thought of that, and I thought, wow, that means 200 different households or groups of people that gather, they're going to receive this priceless treasure. And only God knows the impact His Word is going to have on the people of Pakistan and Iran, because a group of people in Charleston, Tennessee, believe that together we can make a difference for God's kingdom on the other side of the world. Amen? Oh, glory to God. That's amazing. That's so exciting to me. We'll never know this side of heaven the eternal impact this is going to make. Eternal destinies are going to be rewritten. Salvations are going to increase. All because of your generosity and faithfulness and obedience and commitment to bless others instead of just thinking about yourself. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that. All right. I said we'd be in the book of Colossians, the letter Paul wrote to the Colossians. So let's look at this passage in the letter that Paul wrote to the church. You know, Paul never got to visit the city of Colossae. Most of these letters he wrote, he was there. He established these churches. He didn't establish a church in Colossae. One of his buddies did that. He never even got to meet the people there face to face, but he had a real burden for them because some false teachings were creeping into the church. Some of the new believers were attempting to combine elements of paganism and secular philosophy, Greek thinking, and oh yeah, they even included some Christian doctrine. That was good. But it was turning into this really mixed bag of beliefs, and Paul was not having it. He wasn't going to put up with that. So he wrote this letter while he was still in a Roman prison. This is one of his prison letters. And he wrote to confront all the false teachings and to reaffirm the total sufficiency of Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? He wanted to make sure the Colossians understood. They didn't need Jesus plus something else to be saved. They didn't need Jesus in addition to all these other man-made requirements to really be a Christian. They just needed Jesus. All of us, that's all we really need is Jesus. Now, it goes on from there, but we don't need all this other extra stuff in addition to Jesus. We just need Jesus. So, Lord, open up your word. Breathe on this word, Lord. Breathe on it. Bring new life to it this morning. Let it penetrate our hearts and our minds this morning. Teach us in this letter, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's look what Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. Now remember, he never visited the city. Never met any of these people face to face, but he struggled in prayer for them. One translation says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. Agonized. And I thought, when was the last time we agonized for someone in our prayer life? How about someone or a group of people that we don't even know? People we've never even met. Now, yeah, we pray for people we've never met all the time. Our celebrity of the month. I don't think any of us have met any of the people, the famous people. We pray for those top 10 nations of the persecuted church every year. But do we struggle in prayer for them? Do we agonize in prayer for them like Paul does for the Colossians? Look at what he tells them next, verse 2 and 3. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what Scott shared with us last Saturday. There's a lot in those two verses. Why is Paul telling him all this? Well, he answers it in verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Paul was in prison, but he heard how strong these people were. And he didn't want no false teaching coming in and deceiving them. He was burdened by this. He's warning them not to be deceived by some clever, slick-talking people who may sound good and look good, but inside they're phonies and wannabes. And Paul wants to encourage them. Chris, let's look at verse 2 and 3 again, please, and leave it up there for a while. Look at this. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, full, complete, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, encouraged in heart, united in love. You know, I believe real ministry begins in the heart. It has to. I mean, I know there are people are wealthy enough, they could write a check to support orphanages. They could write a check without even thinking about it. And that's good. But their heart doesn't need to be attached to that because it's a process. It's a thing they're doing. But for real ministry, it has to begin in here, in the heart. The heart needs to be motivated to be involved in real ministry. And Paul is praying. He's agonizing. He's struggling in prayer for these people because he doesn't want them to be deceived into believing any of this false teaching that was creeping into the church. And false teaching is creeping into the church 2,000 years later. So Paul's writing to us too. This letter is for every one of us as well. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us to be encouraged in heart and united in love. Make sense? Why does he want this? So that you and I may also have the full riches of complete understanding. Why? In order that we, every one of us, may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. God's a mystery. Right? We'll never figure him out. Just when we think we haven't figured out, he'll do something and throw us completely off. So he's a mystery. Jesus is a mystery. But we can know God, right? We can know God and we can know Christ if we really want to. But it's going to take some effort on our part. It's not on the screen, but Jeremiah 29:13. The Lord says, you will seek me and find me. When? When you seek me with all your heart. I don't do that. Not with all my heart. I need to. So he's telling us, we can have, we can possess. You know, if we have something, we possess it. We can have the full riches of complete understanding in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And here's the jackpot. In whom is hidden all, not some, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom and knowledge of God are the priceless treasures that are hidden in Christ. Something's hidden, you have to search for it, right? You have to do some digging. You have to make an effort to uncover the treasure if it's hidden, right? Is this treasure worth the effort? Is it worth the digging? Obviously, a lot of people don't think so. But we've been given the treasure map. It's all in here. This is the treasure map. And some of us has more than one copy. Some of us has more than one translation. Several translations, several copies. But they all lead us to all, not some, not most, but all the hidden treasures, plural. It's more than one. It's a bunch of them. All the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, not the world's wisdom, wisdom and knowledge found only in Christ, not in Buddha, not in Muhammad, not in Shiva, not in Krishna, but in Christ alone, right? In Christ alone. We've already been given a map. We've got the treasure map to find the hidden treasure. But we have to pick it up. We have to study this map. And we need to follow this map. That's how you find treasure, right? With a map, you follow it. You study, you follow. A map won't do you any good if you never open it up and look at it and study it, will it? Of course not. But if we'll do that, if we'll encourage each other, united in love, and we'll encourage others to open this map up and study this map and to follow this map, oh my, we will find all the hidden treasures that are far more valuable than anything this world can offer us, right? So let's stop chasing after the stuff the world puts high value on and go on a real treasure hunt. Let's go after the true riches, the hidden treasures found only in Christ and His Word. Amen. Amen. Well, it's cold. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to go and warm up. Remember, let Dan and Wendy know if you're coming Wednesday night, so Wendy knows how much chicken to cook, right? And if somebody wants to bring a dessert, by all means, bring a dessert. If you want anything and good, clean, filtered water to drink, bring something else. But they'll have plenty of water, too. Thanks for opening up your house for us. Looking forward to it. And we're just going to pray the Lord blesses it, right? The Lord, He knows. All right, stand with me. We'll say a prayer. If you want prayer for anything, I'll be up here for a while. You pray with somebody. Stay warm. Lord, thank you again for opening up your word to us. And thank you for bringing us here this morning. And thank you for Scott sharing this devotion last Sunday. When he said hidden treasures, that just clicked. And I went home and I thought about it because we didn't meet the very next morning. We weren't meeting on the next Sunday. So I thought about it and a couple days went by and he kept bringing it back to me. It's that hidden treasure. You need to look into that. You need to read Colossians. You need to Google some of this stuff. You need to get a commentary out and look into this stuff and then share it. Share it next Sunday. That it's there. We can know God and we can know Jesus and we can know these hidden treasures because there's a song called True Riches that says, you're not hiding them from us. You're hiding them for us. And we get to dig them out. Hidden treasure takes some digging to find. May have to get our hands dirty. It may sweat a little bit, but it's so worth it. Because this is the treasure of all treasures. And we have the map. We've been given the map to it. Oh, encourage us. Open up that map. Just like if it was an old treasure hunt map for buried treasure somewhere, you'd unfold it and you'd look and you'd see the X where the treasure was, and there's this dotted line taking you through all this stuff to get to where that treasure is. You've already given us the map. It won't do us any good unless we open it up, unless we study it, and by all means, unless we follow it. Oh, let us not just be hearers of the word and deceive ourselves, but let us be doers of the word. Let us follow you. Let us keep in step with you and never change course. I pray blessings over everyone here. I thank you for their willingness to come and gather. This was important to them, obviously. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. And I just ask blessings over those that aren't here, who aren't feeling good, or just tired, maybe lazy, whatever it is. Maybe they're just colds, and I'm not going. Bless them, too, and bring us back together next Sunday as we look into part two of this hidden treasure message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.